Worship team, appreciate you guys. Hello, can you hear me? Yes? Good, good. Really excited to be here. My name is Ryan, and the guy that was just praying for you, his name is Bob, and you can call me Pastor Ryan, you can call him Pastor Bob, and I'm smarter and better looking than he is, so just that if there's no other truth spoken here today, that truth was spoken, all right? We all agree. Everybody said amen. Oh, really great to be with you. I live in Lenexa, and so, but I grew up at Fairlawn. I grew up in this church. I was baptized in this church. I received my first local minister's license here at Fairlawn. So I feel like I've come home. This is just so great, and I'm so excited to be here. Yes, you can clap for that, because what you're doing is you're clapping for yourself. You've been the kind of church that has produced folks that have responded to a call to ministry. This has been a kind of place where people have connected with God at such a deep level that they've been able to walk into whatever God has for them. And so I work at the Global Ministry Center in Lenexa. I'm the denominational archivist for the Church of the Nazarene, which is so fun. Any other history nerds in the house? No shame at all. Yeah, there's a few of us. Okay, so I do some history things, but I'm an ordained minister and pastored for about 10 years, lead pastored for about 10 years. I was in Paris, Kentucky for 4.5 years and then responded to the invitation to pastor the good folks over at Village Community Church of the Nazarene, which is near the Legends in Kansas City. Did that for 6.5 years and then got roped into my current assignment, which I'm really thrilled to serve in. And so that's what I do. And Pastor Bob is retired, technically. I mean, he's kind of retired, I guess. We're putting him back to work, I guess. But he actually served on staff here for a few years. He was an associate pastor. He's like the Pastor Tom of a different era, and then pastored in Warrensburg, Missouri, and in Lawrence, Kansas, Rock Chalk Jayhawk. Probably just offended half the crowd with that, but that's okay. And our job during this season is just to kind of keep things going, to preach the best sermons we can, to be with you in this time. Neither of us are vying for the job. We just want to make sure that the things that have been happening here at Fairlawn, which are very good, are continuing to happen as we pray and anticipate Fairlawn's next lead pastor. All right? So you'll see us around on Sundays. We might not be here on the same Sundays. We'll share preaching responsibilities. But we'll be here as often as we can, and we'll be available to you as often as we can. So don't be afraid to reach out to us. We already love you. You have impacted us in ways that you probably don't even realize. So really good to be together. It is Christmas season, believe it or not. We're in the holiday season, and that is just amazing to me. So this is the first Sunday of Advent. Here we are, and I want to begin this morning by reading a familiar passage of Scripture. This is the classic Christmas story from the book of Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. You can open your Bible if you have it with you. Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. The words will be on the screen as well. I typically preach from the New International Version, if that matters to you in any way. It doesn't need to matter, but if it does, if you're like, what's he reading from? That's what I'm reading from. Follow along in whatever version you prefer. Again, today we're in Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. And after I read this familiar passage, I want to simply tell you a story which was inspired by the Christmas story from the Bible that we're going to read together, okay? So let's give our attention to Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 15. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, The time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in their fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid." Some of the best words of Christmas, right? I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, his name was Phillips Brooks, and he was exhausted. In the year 1861, 163 years ago, Pastor Phillips Brooks was called to be the pastor of Holy Trinity Church in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Shortly after Pastor Brooks arrived at his new church, he contacted a real estate agent. His name was Lewis Redner, but it wasn't because Pastor Brooks needed a home. It was because he needed help with their Sunday school program. Mr. Redner agreed to serve as the director of Sunday school at Holy Trinity, and together, Pastor Brooks and Mr. Redner welcomed 30 kids to their first Sunday school class. Within 1 year, thanks largely to Brooks' unusual skill at preaching and to Redner's gift as a musician — Redner was this really talented organist — the Sunday and midweek services at Holy Trinity were filled to overflowing, just like we're praying for Fairlawn, right? 1,000 children were attending Sunday school every week. Can you imagine if 1,000 kids showed up here? Everyone is now a Sunday school teacher, right? It'd be crazy. So over the next 2 years, attendance would continue to grow. Phillips Brooks was not even 30 years old when this happened, but he was quickly becoming recognized as one of the most dynamic Christian voices in America. However, even as the church grew, Pastor Brooks' reputation as an amazing preacher spread far and wide. Pastor Brooks was at this time, he's becoming famous, but he was also becoming physically and spiritually exhausted. This was only made worse by the year 1863, when the United States of America found itself in the middle of a civil war. The national spirit was dying almost as quickly as the soldiers on the battlefield. Everyone knew someone who had been killed or gravely injured in the conflict. And most of the women who showed up to Pastor Brooks's church wore black as they mourned the loss of a husband or a son. While Pastor Brooks did his best, there's just this sense of darkness that seemed to fall over every facet of the church services at Holy Trinity and probably every other church in America. Pastor Brooks, with all the success, he still felt exhausted every time he stood in front of the congregation. His church members wanted him to be inspirational. They wanted to believe the good things in life that they had once known would someday be theirs again, right? They wanted an end to the war. Yet even though he made this valiant effort, Brooks felt like he just couldn't give his flock what they needed most, which was this sense of hope. Everybody say hope. When the Civil War finally ended, The noticeably exhausted Pastor Brooks hoped that the sweetness of life would soon return to his church and to his own soul, yet the pain only intensified when President Lincoln was assassinated. Not knowing about the inner turmoil and the exhaustion that Pastor Brooks was experiencing, but fully aware of Pastor Brooks's gift at preaching, representatives of the president asked Phillips Brooks to give the funeral message at President Lincoln's funeral. Not feeling like he could decline such a significant request, Pastor Brooks accepted the invitation, and he had to dig deep, but he found the words to fit the moment. Nevertheless, seeing President Lincoln senselessly slain, and the exhaustion of the effort that it took to speak at the funeral itself left Pastor Brooks completely empty of everything that he felt like he needed as a pastor. So what did he do? He did what any of us would or should do in such a circumstance. He took a vacation. But he didn't go to the beach. He didn't go to the lake. He didn't go to the nice cabin in the woods. He went to the Holy Land. On December 24th, 1865, Christmas Eve, an exhausted, worn out Pastor Phillips Brooks was half a world away from home. He was worn out, he was burnt out, he was searching for spiritual renewal, and he was searching for it in the very land where Jesus Christ was born. He spent most of his stay in the Holy Land in Jerusalem, but on Christmas Eve, it just felt right to go to Bethlehem. He was warned by the locals that he might encounter thieves on the way, since it would be obvious to them that he was a tourist. But that did not deter him. Pastor Brooks borrowed a horse, and he set out across the desolate and rugged countryside between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and the journey was actually astoundingly peaceful for him. For several hours, he was alone with his thoughts as he studied a land that had actually changed very little since the days of Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus. It ended up being a wonderful time of prayer and meditation as the darkness of a Bethlehem evening began to set in. This sudden sense of awe fell over him. The sky was clear. The first silent stars were beginning to shine in the night sky. As he looked around in total wonder at the place, he rode into the still, tiny, remote village of Bethlehem. And he remembered the story of the birth of Jesus. And now that he was present in the place where it actually happened, he was able to add vivid detail to the very scripture passage that we just read together this morning. This great preacher was awestruck and left speechless as he considered that Jesus was born in such modest surroundings. There, on the dark streets that had hardly changed at all since Bible times, Pastor Brooks was overcome with the magic of Christmas and the presence of God. He would later tell his family and his friends that the experience was so overpowering for him that it would forever be singing in his soul. Well, Pastor Brooks returned home from his trip to the Holy Land with renewed vigor He's feeling so much better. When he got back, he tried his best to communicate the incredible wonder of what happened to him, what he experienced in Bethlehem on Christmas Eve. He's trying to tell his congregation about this, yet even with his amazing oratorical skills, Brooks's best attempt to convey what he experienced fell totally short. For the next 3 years, the singing in his soul remained strong, but his inability to share this stirring imagery haunted him. When Pastor Brooks looked ahead to the Advent and Christmas season of 1868 and again recalled the breathtaking experience of riding into Bethlehem at dusk, well, this time he didn't like force the words out. He simply just kind of relived the experience and jotted down a few lines that seemed to float into his head. His thoughts soon took the form of a poem. When he finished, he hurried to share it with his Sunday school director, that talented organist, Lewis Redner. Now, Mr. Redner had heard Pastor Brooks try to convey what he experienced on his Holy Land trip numerous times. They were good friends. But as Redner read the simple words of this poem that Pastor Brooks had written down, Mr. Redner finally got it. He finally grasped the power of what Brooks had experienced on Christmas Eve in Bethlehem. And so Mr. Redner felt inspired to try to compose music to accompany this poem. For hours on Christmas Eve night, I don't know what you're doing on Christmas Eve night, but for hours on Christmas Eve night, organist Redner struggled at the piano, but he couldn't quite find the tune, so he went to bed, and he had a dream. And the dream was the tune that he was looking for. Rubbing the sleep from his eyes, he wakes up, and Lewis Redner discovered that the tune that was given to him in his sleep was a perfect fit for Pastor Brooks's poem. And as if blessed by God himself, on Christmas morning of 1868, a new song was written. Oh, little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark street shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. Pastor Phillips Brooks is now recognized as one of the greatest American preachers of the 19th century. His first volume of sermons sold more than 200,000 copies when it was released in 1878, and it's still read, and those sermons are still studied today by people like me, and there's even a building named after him at Harvard University. Yet it's the songwriter, not the preacher, whose work millions now cherish. It's the simple language of an exhausted, tired, worn out, burned out minister in search of spiritual renewal that continues to touch lives today. Perhaps you, too, are feeling a little bit exhausted. Not after Thanksgiving, no. Perhaps you, like Pastor Brooks, are feeling like you could use your own spiritual renewal as we begin this Advent and Christmas season together. You don't really know me. I don't really know you. Here we are. I want to invite the band to go ahead and make their way forward. We're going to sing a song in response, and I bet you can't guess what song we're going to sing. We're going to sing O Little Town of Bethlehem together. And as we prepare to sing this Christmas carol, we are reminded, friends, that spiritual renewal is not found in being able to say the right words. It's not found in being a great pastor or even having a great pastor. It's not found in having a great Sunday school director or really a great anything. Our spiritual renewal is found in the everlasting light, the one who shined in the dark streets of Bethlehem and who still has light to shine on your situation today, in the dark streets of broken relationships, in the dark streets of a scary medical diagnosis, in the dark streets of health concerns, in the dark streets of financial burdens, in the dark streets of employment stress, in the dark streets of grief, loss, in the dark streets of regret, guilt, bitterness, negative self-talk, and yes, exhaustion. In the dark streets of prayers for loved ones that still seem to have gone unanswered. With all of the fear that comes from those kind of dark streets, yet in these dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in the everlasting light that still shines in life's darkest streets. So could you use some spiritual renewal today? You find yourself exhausted? You know, I return often to the words of Jesus in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 28 and 29. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Yeah, what if you could enter into this busy, hectic season with a sense of spiritual rest? Wouldn't that be good? With a sense that all really is calm and bright, even in the darkest streets of life. I want to invite you, we've done this already in this service, but let me invite you just to stand one more time. As we sing this song together, this song that we now have the backstory to, I want to invite you to sing this song prayerfully and to spend this moment responding to God in prayer. We've already invited you to the altar, but the altar is still open. If you feel led to kneel and to just leave your burdens right here at Fairlawn Church of the Nazarene today, right here in the lap of Jesus Christ, the altar is a great place to do that. That's what this beautiful, that's what these altars are here for. It's what this place is here for. You can also respond to God right where you are too. So there's never any pressure to come to the altar. If you want to just stay right where you are and sing this song with gratitude and thankfulness and offer up your own prayer to God right there, that's okay too. But connect with God in this moment as we sing and respond to Him together. Let's sing.
We ever left.
invite you to do something you may not be used to doing. I want to invite you just to extend your hands. Look at your palms for a moment. I'm going to pronounce a blessing on you, and there's nothing weird or spooky about extending your hands. You're just taking a posture of receiving this blessing straight out of the Bible. This is from the Scriptures, from the book of 1 Thessalonians, and it simply says this: May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless until the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do this. Go in the peace of the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a great week this week. We'll see you next Sunday.